Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
Good evening, everybody.
Bring out your dad.
Welcome to Paranormal Investigator Radio.
Bring out your dad.
We are your hosts.
I am Steve Roscoe.
I'm Peter for the second show, Can't Find the Right Hole and Screwed Everything Up.
I'm Rich Nicodem.
And I'm Dr. Dave DeProspero. Sorry about our little delay there. Pete was having some issues with his laptop, but we are live. We are here. We are broadcasting, and we want you to give us a buzz. We're going to be talking about everything paranormal. So here's the information.
Phone lines are now open. In North America, call toll free 1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594.
Good evening. I'm Peter. Oh, we already did that, right? That was the second playthrough.
Yep. Second time.
We really, really would love a phone call. So if anybody's listening out there in the world of the BBS, give us a call.
I'm Peter Leonard.
I don't know about you, but it would be kind of nice to have a phone call and bounce an idea or two off
and talk to somebody.
Caller. Yes, absolutely.
It'd be wonderful.
So please, if you're out there and you ever wanted to talk to a paranormal investigator, we've got four of them right here. Give us a call and we'll do our best to answer your question.
That's what we do.
That was beautiful. It's 1-888-710-8601. 8061.
One more time.
One more time, Pete.
Oh, my Lord. I can't say 1-888-710-8061.
There we go. Beautiful.
Or as always, I could be reached with ESPN.
ESP.
Well, we had an exciting show the last hour, even though it was only 20 minutes because I couldn't find the right hole to broadcast through.
Goodness.
Exciting is the word that you use?
The Matrix, right over here. I can't find the broadcast hole. We never have a problem with BBS. That's because we have a
live
excellent station
sound engineer.
Yes, we do.
And he is the best.
Thank you. I wasn't thanking me, I was thanking the station manager. So, one thing we talked about last hour, we could probably continue. Rich led off the conversation with...
I did.
The Game of Hearts. No.
What?
We're playing cards?
Yeah. Hearts?
How about Game of Thrones? That starts in another 4 weeks, right?
I just bought that book, the first one. I had HBO, and I watched like the first four episodes of Game of Thrones, but I figured, you know what? I'm going to buy the book. So I have the book. I haven't started. I'm finishing one book right now, but I can't wait to dig into it and start reading it.
It's a great book.
So don't give me any spoiler alerts on the Game of Thrones.
Red Wedding?
I'm sorry?
That's just not right.
Red Wedding. Okay. Anyway.
Is that anything to do with Red Rum?
No. Everybody in the entire United States listening audience and internationally, too.
Spoiler alert.
Knows what I'm talking about. That's
spoiler
okay.
alert.
And no, they don't because I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
YouTube.
Me neither.
Go to YouTube and type in Red Wedding Reactions.
Oh, he said YouTube. I thought he was a YouTube.
No, not YouTube.
That's what I thought he was going to say. That's what I thought he was saying,
too. Not YouTube. YouTube.
Ming. Never is now Game of Thrones. Is that the one that takes place in outer space on a different planet?
What the heck? So everybody in the world is laughing at you right now.
No, they're not because I don't know what
is this another version of Spartacus?
No. Spartacus? No. No, Game of Thrones.
No, that would be a big no. Big negative.
Big I'll get you copies of it, Pete.
So, Steve, is it true I've heard you've gone over to the world of Doctor Who? Are you a Whovian now?
Well, I have seen the first two episodes on Netflix, which we do not endorse, by the way.
But we love.
I seen that one episode you were talking about with the last human being stretched out there, and
Wasn't that frightening?
That was kind of weird. Am I a Doctor Whovian now? It's an okay show. I don't think it's my favorite show, but it's okay.
We're definitely getting a phone call now.
I'm actually going to give it more of a chance later this week. I'll watch a couple more episodes, and then I'll let you know on what I really feel about the show.
So getting my dork on, if that's not like a sexual reference. you're watching the Christopher Eccleston series, The Ninth Doctor, and Rose is on there?
Yes, Rose.
He knows Rose.
Rose isn't bad looking, but I digress.
It's kind of a scary concept. The episode he's talking about is the actual when the sun supernovas and takes the Earth out with it, and also Mercury, Venus.
Well, that's never good.
Yeah, no, that's not good for us.
And they were getting the watch that, the one of the interesting episodes is the Titanic one. But
see that one yet.
I know, it's English, so it's like low budget, but it's good what they do with it. It's sort of out there, but it hasn't really ever changed since the 60s. Ding.
Ding.
The 1960s just called and said, we want Woodstock back, which we don't endorse. So Rich actually was talking about if you get into the paranormal gig, you're out there starting a team, what type of equipment should you purchase?
Well, I said in the last show, and I'm going to give you my same answer for this show, I would choose audio equipment. I think it's
high end.
Yeah, of course you don't go to Walmart to pick that up, but like Rich said in the last show, 90% of what we get is audio, so I think It would behoove a new team to get some really good audio equipment.
This always goes back to our BEL, or basic equipment list, that we always talk about. And a basic equipment list is what we distribute to all of our new members as a recommendation of the equipment to purchase when you're first getting started in the paranormal. And of course, right on the top of that list is a very, very high quality audio recorder. Flashlights.
We use a lot of the, which we're not endorsing, brand Tascam. Have you seen some of their real high-end stuff, like the $700-$800, like portable recording studio?
Yep.
Stuff? Some of that stuff is really cool. Capture. Yeah. Now, one thing I'd like to get is like a parabolic mic, something that's like.
Those are amazingly expensive too.
Yeah, I know.
The gold beryllium one, or
well, just any in general, you're a few hundred dollars, but. The higher end.
I mean, I have pretty much three audio recorders when I investigate. I've got the one that I use straight out as an audio recorder. I've got the one that I have that EM speaker and EM microphone on the other component. And then I've got one I just have built into an iPod. So I like to do the audio stuff. I like to sit and listen to it. It's kind of surprising when you capture something. You know, you hear a voice or a name or something. It's pretty cool. And, of course, a lot of times when we do our Spirit Box sessions, we record it so that we can go back and listen. I know Dave's not a big fan of the Spirit Box.
We'll get you the Joe's Box.
Of the time it is, but there are certain times that things do happen. Like, you know, like doing an investigation in the shops at the Finish Line when we had Jeff Matthews, the weather guy from the news station there. And Pete said, what is the name of the gentleman sitting right next to me? And it came back and said, Jeff. It's clear as day. I mean, that's what we all heard. So, I mean, stuff like that. Is it coincidental? I suppose.
We need to jump in on the revolution. Let's invent something called the potty box, and the only thing it'll use is swear words in an investigation.
We've gotten a few of those.
Anytime Pete uses the Frank's box, it turns into the potty box.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't going to take anything from that Italian guy swearing at me, telling me to do something and eat certain family members' body parts. It's just not going to happen. I don't care if you are dead. Tough guy.
Miserable alive and miserable dead. That's
streaming
the way.
Streaming in this realm? Well, I'm going to send somebody to your realm and kick your...
That seems to be the case, Rich. If you're miserable in this life, you're going to be miserable in the next.
Well, I believe it. I thoroughly believe it.
And these guys already pooped on my parade on the last show because they said I'm on the waiting list to get a pair of the full spectrum eyeglasses.
Oh, my goodness.
With POV, which I actually thought was like some French word, but apparently it means point of view.
It sees what you see while you see it. You turn your head,
Steve's
it turns.
Laughing over here. I'm like, I thought it stood for Beauvais. I don't
Beauvais. Know. Hey, Beauvais.
Which is French for puppy.
Beauvais.
I thought it was... Never mind.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
You know what? We need to... We need to develop an app because Facebook paid $19 billion to buy this app.
What is it?
To add voice calls to it. You guys read about that?
No.
$19 billion. These guys are set for life. They made one app.
What website are you on?
I'm not going to tell you what that is because it's kind of personal, Dave.
Oh, I see what site you're on.
Yeah, I'm on Yahoo. But, I mean, I remember reading about this in the news. But, you know, it just goes to show when Facebook wants something, Facebook gets it.
Yep.
And they don't care how much they have to pay for it.
And Google.
Yeah. If they want it bad enough, they'll buy it from you. $19 billion. And this is so that they can add voice calls to Facebook. So essentially, Facebook is going to be competing probably with like Google, because if you ever use Google Voice or anything like that.
No, I've never used that.
As if Facebook is not useless enough.
I know.
Now
I know.
They're adding yet another way to waste even more time and money.
I know. But it's really kind of funny because the people I met that didn't want to use Facebook are now like huge Facebook fans. And myself, the only reason why I even have Facebook is because of what I do for a living as a entertainment agent manager. If I didn't do that and I was, say, doing something a little bit different, I probably wouldn't even have a Facebook, to be honest with you. I mean, I just keep in contact with my artists and basically see what they're doing and support their venues and advertise stuff. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have it.
I'm on Facebook, obviously, for the group, but I also have a friend that lives in China and went to high school with him.
Oh, there you
we
go.
We communicate that way.
Steve's on Facebook for the chicks.
No, I am not.
That's what he said just a few minutes ago.
Then how come I don't have any on my Facebook?
Ghosts or chicks?
You know, Skyping all is another sudden, thing.
Now, thank you, Dave, very much, because now I'll go home and on my Facebook page would be a bunch of little
90 female.
Why don't you just Skype? I mean, we have all this Skype and FaceTime, and I mean, I don't even use it. I'd love to Skype with somebody, but nobody wants to Skype with me.
Skype with from China, doesn't that cost you?
Usually the only time I make phone calls are in the bathroom. If you want a video, call me on Skype.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
No, that's okay, no.
We'll pass on that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Peter Pumpkin Eater.
That's bizarre.
Not a problem with that.
So, guys, what's going on in the world of the paranormal?
There's the Spirit Voice 2.0 SW Ghost Box Android app. Ghost Box. Ghost
Box?
Bazinga. Ghost Box. So they have a Spirit Box for the Android. $3.99.
No, thank you.
I've never really got much use out of those apps for ghost hunting that are on the phones.
But
they're kind of hokey.
I'll never forget that public venue that we were at, and the little lady came up in a complete state of panic with her cell phone out, and her friend or kids or something had her download that ghost radar. And she was terrified because the ghost radar said that there were ghosts around her, and she didn't know what to do. She was despondent. So we had to, you know, put her mind at ease about the fact that there's no ghosts around her.
Let me see if I can find it here. Do you see there's an actual attachment for the iPhone, a K2 application?
Yeah, I emailed that to you guys.
Are you the one who sent it?
Yes, okay. I emailed it to you.
Do you see that the Melmeters are also available in black now?
Are they really? No, I didn't see that. Copycats.
Who started that trend?
We did.
RIP!
The black K2. Anybody ever see a black K2? That's because we developed it with K2 Enterprises back in 2012.
We said, hey, paint your meter a different color. I said, great idea. You guys are amazing.
We wanted pink, but it ended up black. It's all the same, don't worry.
That's a piece of equipment, to be really quite honest with you. I used to use a couple years ago a K2. I don't think I even really use it anymore, except other than to do some sweeps to look for see if there's Wi-Fi present, to look for any electrical spots, mm-hmm. Go over any weird objects I see in the house and stuff to pick up energy. Otherwise than that, I mean, we used to kind of use those all the time, walk around and communicate and ask it to touch the green light and do all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's just one piece of equipment I don't use that much anymore. Sorry.
I'm still a big fan of that one.
Of course you are.
So I got this attachment thing up, the one you sent me. It looks like a anal probe, not to put it down, but it's like a long pointed stick sticking out of the end of the iPhone.
Yeah, I think I'll pass on that.
I would think that's actually to take your temperature. But
there you go.
I use the K2 basically for the same purpose he does now. I have it in there, and I use it to when I go in, especially in a consultation. We bring various small pieces of equipment, and that's one of them I bring. It's good to get a baseline reading of a house. Does it communicate? I don't know. I really don't.
Well, we used to have some good results with that before at locations, asking whatever it was to reach out, touch the green light, communicate with us. But the last couple of investigations, I really haven't had much success with it.
I think all these pieces of equipment go in spurts, too. I mean,
most likely.
A few years ago.
We found, but also, guys, if you look back, we found some faults with it, like cell phones trigger it off. If you're carrying a cell phone and you're carrying it too close to the K2, mm-hmm. the K2 will go off. So we found some faults with it, but it still is a piece of equipment that we do use from time to time. Right, Pete?
Either Pete's constipated or he's thinking about something.
Yeah, there's something going on with Pete over there.
I don't think I'm going to be able to hold it to the end of the show. Diabetes.
Your enthusiasm? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Obviously, folks, tech is a big thing for us. Technology and the paranormal is what is helping us get more and better evidence.
And there goes Pete. Bye, Pete.
Yes, it does, Rich.
I mean, if you really think about it, there's much more there. I'm still waiting for some new equipment to come through. I mean, those glasses and stuff that we talked about on a different show are actually kind of cool, but I mean...
It all comes... Listen, anything IR, anything full spectrum... It comes down to the camera. The camera has to be built out of a particular type of material which makes it sensitive to those wavelengths. And most cameras are not sensitive to that. You either have to strip off filters and sometimes you have to replace lenses. And even then, the core sensor component just may not be sensitive to ultraviolet. Most are sensitive to infrared. But I worry that something that small, I've seen those cameras. I mean, those are common everyday cameras that you see on eBay, the eyeglass cameras. Right. So, you know, I just don't think that there's a really high-end imaging sensor in there that's capable of full spectrum. I think it's just a filtered camera.
Well, that could be the case. That really could be the case. I mean, I don't own an IR full spectrum camera. That's kind of the next piece of equipment I want to get, though. Those are pretty sweet.
What goes in must come out.
Oh boy!
Welcome back, Pete.
Now I know why Sai is always doing something on Duck Rangers or whatever it's called. Duck Dynasty.
Duck Dynasty.
Duck Dynasty.
You know, it was just brought up by one of our members here through text messaging that if there's any companies out there that are listening to us that produce any kind of equipment that senses electronic interference or electromagnetic fields or, you know, any of that kind of stuff.
Thermal imaging.
We would love to work with you to develop some kind of device that is specifically targeted to paranormal investigating. You never know. We actually worked hand-in-hand with K2 Enterprises for 18 months with the development of their next-generation black model, which is more than just a paint color. There's a lot more that went into that than just changing the color. So if there's anybody interested, please get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you on the radio station, on our website, RomeInvestigatorsOfTheParanormal.com, or you could find us on our Facebook page.
Paranormal Investigator Radio, hosted by the Grown Investigators of the Paranormal. Visit us online at www.growninvestigatorsoftheparanormal.com.
Are we live? Hello?
Yes, we are.
Welcome back, everybody.
Can I tell you something I did to Candy? Candy's my spousal unit. We went to we went to a restaurant last week, and when we walked in the door, the hostess there, she looked at me. She's like, "For two?" And I'm like, "Oh, you can see her too." The punch in the ribs that I got. Let me tell you, I thought it was funny.
Only you.
If you haven't noticed, Pete has a very weird sense of humor.
That's why we love him.
You just can't turn it off. It's always on.
I know. I try. That's what she says to the spousal unit. It's just... In the military, that's what's referred to as a wife. What kind of baggage are you bringing with you overseas? Your persons, your spousal wife, and your homestead.
Oh, so you're married now.
In my heart, yes.
Oh, okay. Very, very sweet.
Yes, I'm married to a woman.
And she's real.
I forgot what movie that came from. But,
not that we're endorsing it or anything.
I looked through a very disturbing website today. I don't have the address in front of me. It was about the Pennhurst Asylum. Have you guys heard of Pennhurst?
Yes.
Mm-mm.
In Ovid, New York?
Yes.
No, near Geneva-ish, I think.
Never heard of it.
There was a team that went there. It was televised.
Yeah, it was near Whitehall down in Hudson.
Okay.
You know our version of the Hudson.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Utta Hudson.
Ovid.
I don't even know how you spell Utta.
Utta Hudson.
Utta. But when it was closed in the past few years, they went through there and they found like 400 suitcases of belongings of people that died at the Pennhurst.
This was a tuberculosis ward, wasn't it?
This was an actual mental facility. It's still being used today for like drug rehab or something.
Oh, it is?
A portion of it.
Oh, okay. My mistake.
People, when they died, they were like brought across the street and just buried in a numbered grave, and there's no... And what they were doing, they were opening up these suitcases and taking pictures of these people's belongings. It's just eerie to see what's in there and what these people were considered like unfit for society, the things that were in these suitcases. And they had about 30 different suitcases pictured on the website. It's just...
Anything interesting?
It's random stuff, but it's like... It's kind of sad at the same time. It's like they said, this was all this person had. Their family threw this stuff in a suitcase, dumped them off there, and they just died.
That is sad.
That is sad.
I would like to investigate that place, but usually when we go into places like that, nursing homes, I quickly get overwhelmed by whatever is there trying to make itself known. I don't know about you, gentlemen. Like the nursing home we did in the summer there was an incredible endurance trial.
Phenomenal. Yes, it was.
That was great.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I missed that one.
I'm sorry.
I don't ever have experiences, though. I mean, like, I don't ever have feelings or sensations.
Well, you're one of the rare ones.
It's weird.
Maybe it's you're just blocking it out.
Maybe. No, I'm, with all this weird stuff that's happened to me in my life, it's welcome, but they just don't want to talk to me.
Who wouldn't want to talk to Dave?
I think it could be a point in your, you know, since you were so young when this happened to you, maybe deep down in your subconscious, you're saying, no, I don't want to see it. No, I don't want to see it.
Yeah, but remember.
And maybe that.
Remember the Moravia house? I saw that. Well, the upper half of the floating guy. Yeah. That was phenomenal. Not the least bit scary. Not disturbing. It was just like somebody was there in the room walking through.
Well, there you go. Then it does happen to you. Very rarely, but it does.
But like these guys say, you know, I feel sad or I feel nauseous or I feel touched or who knows what else. But
well, when we go into a room, this happens with me when I go into a room sometimes. You can just feel, like Pete said before, the energy change in a room, and my hair will stand right
yes,
on my
yeah,
arms.
I never get that. Nothing.
You get, oh, absolutely. Does that happen to you, Rich?
Usually what happens is I don't get the nausea or anything like that. Usually I feel the energy. The hairs will stand up on my arm. I'll get that sensation mm-hmm. up the back of my spine, around my neck, mm-hmm. back of my shoulders. Pretty intense. Only once I got the real nauseous. That was the one time that Mike came up to me and put a K2 on me. I didn't have any equipment on me or anything. Mm-hmm. And I was reading off the K2.
That was at the Halbert House.
At the Halbert House, yeah. I got kind of sick after that. That was just an enormous amount of energy. I don't know what that was. I don't even know if it was paranormal or not. I don't know. I have no idea, but it was just weird. But
I've never been nauseous. I know Pete at the Cameroon Church, I believe it was.
Pete gets nauseous now and then.
Nauseous. He got very, very nauseous.
Then again, it could just be the diabetes.
It could be.
I call it the rising of the tide. I know when it's coming.
The high fiber diet, maybe.
That's where I get triggered, and it's not a good feeling. Of course, now I can't find a picture of any of these so I could show Steve.
What are you looking for a picture of?
The Pennhurst, the suitcase thingies. But a word of caution out there to all those who do paranormal investigate those places. You should always have the utmost respect for whatever might be lingering around there. They may not know how to leave. I don't know why they would want to stay. I don't know the reason that they are there. Why anybody's there.
I think you have to think about this way. If they're still there, you got to remember they were human once. And they may not know why they're there. Why they can't go on.
They may not even know they're dead.
Exactly.
They're just going about their daily life. If
if they can see you, you can't see them. We obviously can't really see them. You know, they don't know why you're swearing at them or, you know. So you want to, as a rule of thumb, just be courteous. It goes a long way, even with the spirit world.
Even with the deceased.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There was one EVP that Pete caught was kind of weird because, going on what you're just saying, after we listened to audio of an investigation we did, we got a voice, and it sounded like a male voice said, "Leave us alone. We were investigating, we're asking questions, we're trying to do our spirit box and everything, and we actually recorded that." It's almost like they could hear us and they didn't want us to bother them. I mean, what is it? They actually hear us asking questions, or they feel the energy that we're generating, or, I mean, it's just...
Maybe they could see
us alone. They're content where they are. They don't want to be bothered.
It's true. It could be.
You know, I mean,
it's weird.
So I got a picture of like one of these suitcases. Now here's like food for thought. I don't know if Steve wants to weigh in because he can see this one. It has a little hand broom, a box of shoe cream polish, a yellow alarm clock, and a little hand-carved wooden Scotty dog. And that's all the possessions this person had in the world when they were checked in to this asylum.
But just imagine how simpler and different life was compared to now. How we are so much more complex. They would have a suitcase with some clothes and like shoe polish, like you said, and a toothbrush and a little Scotty dog. We'd have an iPad and we'd have our
laptop,
cell phone and
cell phone.
Charger, and we would have all electronic stuff and some clothing. I mean, we're just so different now than we used to be. People used to be so much simpler then. We're so more complex. We need to have so much more stuff. I mean, you can see my desk. I'm surrounded by things. Phone, computer, screens, printers. You know what I mean? Back when my father worked, I went to his office one day and visited. He had pretty much a phone in his desk, and he had piles of papers and notebooks and stuff like that. I mean, now it's just so much different. Mm-hmm. We just
it
evolved,
is.
You know? It's I don't weird. Know if it's for the better, because we're becoming so much more dependent on these things. You know, people could do things. Remember your parents used to tell you, go outside and play?
Yeah.
We used to have to go out and actually play. You know, what do you want to do? I don't know. Let's do something. We would just make stuff up or we'd go places. Now, do kids really even do that anymore? They kind of get on their computer or their phone and they just, you know.
You know, I was talking to a very similar conversation with a friend of mine not too long ago about the same thing. You know, when we were teenagers, we used to go out and play ball, you know, on a Saturday afternoon or, you know, we'd be gone all night as long as you got home when the street lights
went on. Before dark.
Yep. No, the street lights went on. That was a cue. You better get yourself home. Because if you don't, you're in trouble. But nowadays, the kids, I don't even know if they go out and meet their friends outside. I think they meet them on Facebook or where have you, you know. But
they go outside and text. That's what they do.
It was, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know about you guys, you know, what you guys did. But as far as I'm concerned, I believe the older ways are the better ways, you know.
I'm still a little bit old school on things. I mean,
absolutely.
I like reading books, actual books. I'm still not sold on the whole.
Those Kindle
audiobooks and Kindle books. You know, I still like.
I want to hold a paper book. You know, when I read a book, I want to hold a paper.
Exactly. I still like card games. I still like chess.
Yep.
You know, not on the computer. Actually, using actual physical pieces to move around the board and sitting next to a human being and you know challenging each other. I mean that kind of thing. You know, I mean as compared to even comic books. Comic books are made of paper. You know, actually, and they're collectible and things like. I mean, just. Things are just so much different when I grew up as a kid as they are compared to now.
The way things are going, I think it's taken a lot of the personalization away from everything. You know, you meet your friends, you're face-to-face. It's personal. Now it's on a computer. It's not as personal.
Right. Like, if you're into music, like we talked about earlier, we had a discussion before the radio program about the 80s and music. Steve and I remember the 80s and music. I remember it was like, hey, Motley Crue or Van Halen's coming out with a new album, and everybody have to go to the store and get it, and we'd listen to it and have parties and all that kind of stuff. Now, basically, they come out with a new release. No one really cares. They just go on. If they want it, they just go on, like, iTunes and download it.
Yep, yeah.
For, like, $8.99.
Couldn't wait for the new album to come out. You know?
Yeah, to go to the store and buy it. Yep. And you actually got it. And you can look at the cool cover art. And it's like, wow.
And then
the credits and stuff.
I say album because back when I was back in the 80s or when I was a kid, it was a vinyl album.
Yeah, yeah exactly. But the thing was, back then, you had the album. And you could, like, read who was in the band, and sometimes you would read through to see if they had like another musician that you followed from a different band that like played on one of the tracks or something. It was just different. Now you just download it on iTunes. You don't care what the cover art looks like as long as it shows up what's on your phone while it's playing, you know, where you'd actually have a collection of albums. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's my record collection. People come over and look through it and I'll play this. And
you know, it's
play
funny.
This, you know,
here's one. I don't know if you did this, but waiting for an album. I don't care what album it was, but do you ever buy two albums, one to play, one to keep?
No, I haven't, but
I did that.
The only bad experience I had with music was the 8-track tape. That was, and I remember I had the Styx Pieces of eight track, which has got, I mean, everybody's looking at me, Styx Pieces of Eight. And the one best song on that whole 8-track was the song Renegade. Mm-hmm. And you know how they would have the 4 tracks or 8 tracks or whatever? It would actually start the song, and then it would basically just it would peter out. You know, it would start at the normal level, and then it would go on, and it would switch tracks, and then it would start the song right where it left off, and the volume would come up. It's like that was just the weirdest thing.
Yeah, I remember.
It was like continued on the page, and you had to flip over to read the rest of the paragraph instead of structuring your paragraphs on the pages. It was a terrible thing.
But
and,
you know what, though? There's convenience, though, to the modern technology. Like, I have a Windows tablet in front of me, which is running our background music and, you know, all that stuff for the show. But also on here, I have a couple TV series.
Oh, yeah.
I have a few movies on here. I've got a library of songs. I have some books and some magazines. But there's also evidence. There's audio recordings. Mm-hmm. There's video. And, you know, instead of having to cart around, you know, a box of stuff. Now you could just have it on a SD card in your tablet, and you go. It's kind of
photography. You know,
yes.
Dave, you're a photographer too, as well. That to me was one of the biggest technological advances for me. Back when I used to do a lot of photography, get the film, take the film, and get it developed, and if the pictures didn't come out right, it was just a big ordeal.
Yep.
And then basically, if you wanted to get anything blown up or any pictures changed, you had to take it someplace, and they would have to do it. Now it's like anyone with a cell phone or a $400 camera and some software off the internet can pretty much become a photographer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
and all the apps now, the photography apps. It's just that kind of stuff has really been advanced, and it's much better now than it used to be.
Oh, sure.
Probably be in jail if we were in college now with all the cell phone technology.
Do you realize in how technology is advanced in the paranormal investigating in the realm of photography? Go back to the days when John Zaffis was started out doing it, taking a camera around,
yep.
taking pictures.
Polaroids.
And then having to take all that stuff to the Phase drugstore. Remember Phase?
Unless they were out there blowing Polaroids. Yep. That was
or the little Kodak kiosk yep. in the middle of a parking lot.
Yeah, and get all those developed. I mean, wedding photographers, they used to spend so much money and bring like stacks of photos or you know proofs to go through. I mean, just think of how much money that saved us. Basically, now we just, like Dave said, we can put it all on our iPad or our laptop or whatever. And, you know, if people say, if you have evidence, just flip the laptop right. open and run the Windows Media Player or whatever. And here's what we have.
It really comes in handy during an investigation as far as the cameras. When you take a picture, you can look at the picture
see
right
it instantly.
There.
Yep.
Instant picture.
No development.
Yep, absolutely.
I was going to say, I owned a photography business for 10 years, and we specialized in wedding photography. And that's... You know, 6,000-7,000 pictures in one day.
Oh, absolutely.
Imagine developing those.
No.
That's crazy. I can't imagine back to those days.
Now, audio evidence. Remember, I mean, you'd have to go through a tape recorder, record things.
Yep.
And then you'd have to listen to it. And then you'd have to write down on a pad of paper where it was and then bring it to whoever you were doing the reveal to. And you'd have to basically timestamp it and try to figure out, go back to where it was and play it. Or if you were lucky, you had a reel-to-reel, which, again, is just a big tape recorder. Now we can basically just run it through our digital recorders and basically take little clips, little files, and play it. What is so funny?
No, I was just going to say it's only been about 5 years since we stopped using cowbells.
It's memory lane radio.
More cowbell.
Cowbells will never go out of style.
Whether you're an investigator, enthusiast, or an ethereal spirit, we are bringing you the information for this realm and beyond. Okay. With your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeRosco.
Steve Roscoe. Speaking of cowbells, gentlemen, you know, you're just mentioning that on an investigation. I believe we should bring them back.
Yeah, they...
I think the cowbells should make a comeback.
I still
to do what?
Them. To go ding-a-ling, ding-ding.
Motion detection.
Yeah, that way if we're... In a different area, we can hear a ding, 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 ding. I think it would be very wise.
Ding,
to,
ding, 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 ding.
Let's use them Saturday.
Bring them all out. Bring absolutely yes, I believe so.
Old school.
Yes.
You guys are making me walk down memory lane. I was laughing before the break because I was thinking about all the board games they used to have when we were growing up.
Oh boy,
this has turned into memory lane paranormal.
Holy cow!
Do you know what happens when you break the ice? You usually get ants in your pants. Then when you want to play the game of life, you end up sorry.
Oh, jeez.
That was terrible.
But, you know, when you investigate with all this new technology, I think sometimes you have to remember who you believe you're communicating to. Like, for instance, if you're at a house a couple hundred years old and you think that possibly it was one of the previous owners back from the 1800s and early 1900s, and you're trying to do like a EVP session, you're like, please speak to the digital audio recorder that's in my hand. You know, the terminology has changed and the language has changed so much. And you're not going to basically tell some, you know, if there's a spirit of an 80-year-old woman who died back in 1900 to speak to the digital audio recorder. You know, I mean, she's going to what the hell are you talking about?
I just had a thought. Do you think we could sometimes maybe tailor our equipment? Like, for instance, if we think it's somebody from the 1800s, bring some kind of equipment or some things that they would maybe readily recognize.
A stenographer?
Era cues? You know?
I mean, let's think about that. You know,
please talk to our official calligrapher.
Oh, please,
55 an iron pen. Mr. Matlock can't.
All right, all right. You know, just a
I
thought.
Had to, I'm
you know.
Sorry.
That's what you get for giving us your thoughts, Steve.
Yes, I think my thoughts will stay to me for now on.
Now the poor guy's not going to speak the whole rest of the show because you embarrassed him.
Please walk up to Satan's box and speak your piece.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know. Eric Hughes is very good.
It's very good, yes.
I've gotten these guys a few times. We mentioned that nursing home over the summer. I probably should have warned them that I was going to play a pre-recorded Latin mass for 10 minutes.
Scared the hell out of me.
Let me tell you, I was in a different part of the nursing home at the time, and I heard that, and I was with another investigator of ours, Alex. We heard that going on, and he looked at me, I looked at him, and he says, "What the heck is that?" And I says, "I'd have no idea."
Stacy and I went running. We heard Pete talking, and he said, "All right, that's Pete." And then you hear the Angelus being sung by the Vienna Boys Choir or something. What the heck?
But it did yield an EVP.
That was me screaming, "What the heck?"
What did you do, Peter?
Well, no, I pre-recorded the question things, and I had three separate songs playing: Battle Hymn of the Republic, Amazing Grace, and then the Latin Mass. But actually, during Amazing Grace, I asked the question, "Did somebody join us in the room now?" These are all pre-recorded questions. And you could hear clear as day the man saying, "John." Johnny, right? Mm-hmm. Johnny for that one. Which was interesting. But yes, when it's dead quiet and, "Oremos praesepios, oremos manetis."
The last thing you want to hear on a paranormal investigation is Latin chanting from somewhere beyond. That's when you very quickly exit the building.
Yeah, that's creepy. Real creepy.
I might do that again this weekend for our investigation.
Just make sure you warn people first.
We're going to be heading up
especially
to the
newbies.
Fulton County Museum. We were there in the...
Fulton!
When were we there? October. We did a public event there.
It was a very cold October night, too. I remember this well. It's a beautiful place. I mean, it's huge.
I can't wait to give that other room a crack again upstairs. The second story where all the dresses were.
Had some energy that, I mean, not only Pete and I could feel it, but some of the people that were with us investigating basically said, "It's getting really cold in here. It's getting really cold." And someone else said, "My whole body's tingling." And people could tell something was going on.
Was that I missed that event. Was that a public event?
Yes, it was.
Is this going to be a public event or a private thing?
This is private.
This is our chance to get in there. And
we didn't want to tell you, Steve, because we didn't want you to go. Thanks, Pete.
I'm sorry.
Thanks for letting out.
I actually knew we were going this Saturday. I didn't know if it was
public
or private.
It's three stories of a lot of cool artifacts, and just the way things are laid out, it's just weird juju. It's like they got a Civil War grave marker in there that was taken from a cemetery, next to relics from a train wreck where hundreds of people were killed, and then there's just a random room with dresses.
Isn't there something that they hung a guy with in there? The noose?
Yeah, there's like a death chamber in there.
Death chamber?
There's like
world's biggest glove,
model
too.
Model train.
The what?
World's biggest glove.
Glove?
Yeah, it's 5 foot tall.
A glove.
Yeah, you put it right over the top of Steve. You could fit inside of the glove.
Like a glove? It's like a glove. Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
They also have what's called the Glove Theater in Fulton.
Named after the world's biggest glove?
No, I guess that's where they used to make a lot of gloves.
Oh.
So everything has got some kind of some reference to gloves.
Okay. Cool, huh? And there's that awkward silence.
Yes, and there's Pete with that awkward look on his face.
Constipation again.
Oh, I thought we lost our call. I'm sorry. Because it's like call ended, and I'm like, huh?
If you're still with us, feel free to give us a call.
Please, give us a call.
This is Paranormal Investigator Radio and the BBS Radio Network.
1-888-429-5471. Oh my God, if Vince is coming, let's see if we can slap him with the world's largest glove. It takes six of us to swing that baby.
That would be great.
Yeah, he said Vince said he was in if we needed him, but he said he'd rather do some of his writing. What's that all about? Is he an author?
That's paranormal all in itself. We won't go there.
Okay.
I've seen that writing.
Who is he writing to?
It's about UFOs.
Oh, okay. Vince is a gentleman in our group who's very intrigued by UFOs. I mean, if you're gonna talk to him about UFOs, be prepared to sit down for about 3.5 hours.
At least.
Years. Good things going on. We haven't mentioned Bigfoot on this show, but Rich actually has us booked and I believe you're doing the presentation this year.
Hopefully, I'm going to be one of the presenters.
On Bigfoot, no. Up in the Woodgate Community Center.
Yeah, but you know what? They're good people up there, and we've done two presentations, one on paranormal, which was well-received, and one on the UFO, which was also well-received. So we'll get a shot at the Bigfoot, and you know, there's enough information out there and that we can put together, and I can pick Bobo's brain a little bit. Mm-hmm. And
just don't pick his nose.
No.
It's a big nose.
And we feel we'll put together a very informative presentation for the folks, and we're actually going to actually do like they do when on Finding Bigfoot, have a town hall. We'll start it off with asking anybody who's seen Bigfoot or seen a Sasquatch, as Cliff says.
Good idea.
You just start the presentation out like one of our rival groups did. No questions. If you answer questions, really, or ask questions, we're leaving.
Yeah, that's got to be the stupidest thing. I mean, you're there. Whenever you lecture, you're going to talk about a topic, and you're going to be looked at as someone who is knowledgeable in that area. People are going to ask questions. You can't answer questions.
That's my favorite part.
That's right. Exactly. As I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, David just said that with such ferocity and authority.
That's my favorite part.
You have no business.
He did, just like that, too. That's my favorite part.
It is my favorite part.
It is actually true. If you can't have a brief question-answering section to your thing, you have no business being up there.
Right.
Exactly. And when we've done the paranormal lectures, at least that I've been involved in, we haven't been able to answer all the questions. I mean, we're answering questions on something that no one has the answers to.
Exactly.
We can give you our opinion or our experience, but and answer it that way. But, you know, people will ask, are ghosts real? Well,
you guys are lucky. You've never had anybody walk up to you and say, I can speak in tongues, and then do it for 12 minutes in front of your face.
That's.
But we did have that one gentleman who came barging in and said, stop! I speak to snakes. I see snakes. What else?
Traveled through time.
That's right.
I missed that guy.
He died four times, too, yep. Right?
As we were trying to end a presentation, literally the last three words we were going to say before people dismissed, that set us into a whole new tangent.
So we took him to Denny's, which we don't endorse, for coffee afterwards because he was such an intriguing gentleman. How could you not want to talk to someone like that? He reaches into his pocket and he pulls out this little bag little of tea baggy. And throws it towards David on the table. Just as the same time as the waiter came by. And there were like five or six cops also in the restaurant eating at the same time.
He threw what at you?
It was a little
ground tea.
Tiny baggie of elderberry tea.
And the waiter's like, you know, I don't care what you do in your own time, man. He's like, but there's cops all over this place.
Like, no, it's tea. He's like, that's fine, just... It's cops.
Okay.
Oh, that was funny.
But he claimed to possess a liquid, which, what was it? It spins all by itself counterclockwise?
A completely,
I don't even remember. I got the notes written down. This was a while ago. It was some kind of anti-gravity liquid.
No. It was a frictionless fluid, a zero friction fluid, and it was able to spin by itself, and it was very weird.
I don't know about you guys, but the only fluids worth having are the ones that are produced by friction.
This show just got weird.
So anybody got a bag of tea?
No, I don't drink tea, actually.
But you know, Denny's, if you ever need a good colon cleanse...
Oh, goodness.
No.
Yeah, if you're thinking of starting a paranormal group out there, you really have no idea what's waiting for you.
Oh, goodness.
But there are tens of thousands to millions of very nice people that I'm very happy that I've met over the years.
Mm-hmm. And helped.
Absolutely. We've met a lot of good, good, solid people.
Who made us good, good sausage bread and pizza and all sorts of snacks.
Those are the best. Absolutely.
And then there's the ones that have just deleted us off of Facebook for no reason.
What the heck?
Yeah, but that's okay.
We know who you are.
You know, yes. We're sending something
your way. You can't see it, but we're sending something.
You'll be hearing from us real soon.
That's the problem when you mess with an investigator, paranormal investigator, you know.
See, that's one of the fringe benefits of being a known paranormal investigator in your community, because when people start with you, that's always a quick threat to them. Keep talking. Keep running that mouth. Wait till you go to bed tonight, or at least try to go to bed tonight. Every time you close your eyes, he's going to be, oh. Well, we'll see. Take our card.
You're going to need it.
So we got about 2-3 minutes there. Let me mention that we are going to be at Phenomicon, which used to be Phenomenology, which is in Gettysburg, April 10 through 13. We'll be there representing our group, Rome Investigators of the Paranormal. We'll also be there representing our radio show, Paranormal Investigator Radio, which is streaming live on BBS Radio, and also liveparanormal.com/historyfm. There's going to be a plethora of celebrities there. They have Jason Hawes this year, of course, the godfather John Zaffis and his two children, Chris and Amy. I believe Brian Kano's there, the infamous Stacy Jones. And I think I just seen something that Deep South Paranormal has been added to the
lineup.
So
I've never seen that show.
Tons of other people. I think they have Katrina from Paranormal State, Chris Fleming, Rip.
That's us.
And Rip. So that should be a good time. They do have some ghost hunts going on in different locations.
We have a few of our own investigations that we're going to be doing. I guess we're going to be where again this weekend, Pete?
Gloversville.
And we're going to be doing one very shortly in our own backyard of Rome.
Gentlemen, we got a call from Mike from California. Do you want to take it quick, Dave?
Quick.
Do we have Mike? Is Mike there?
Hello, Mike.
Self. Hi, do you guys ever have on a guest? I would suggest Travis Walton. He's an excellent one on the UFO abduction experience. Yes. Can you hear me?
Where's options?
Hello.
Anybody there?
Hold on. I got to switch this back.
Anybody there? Mike. Hello.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, we are at the end of the show here, and we just want to thank everybody for tuning in for Paranormal Investigator Radio. Join us 2 weeks from tonight, 2 Tuesdays from now.
Mike, I do forget I turned off the sound because it was actually rebroadcasting live out through our computer. That's why we didn't hear you. So
make sure you
Peter's fault.
Make sure you stick with us, Mike, 2 weeks, and you could get back in touch with us. All right, well, for Paranormal Investigator Radio, we're your hosts.
I'm Steve Roscoe.
Peter, I don't know what the hell how to use this computer.
Rich Nicodem.
And Dr. Dave DiProspero. And we thank you for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Good night, everybody.
Stay spooky.
Good night. Stay safe.